Good morning, everyone. I found myself looking forward to being in the pulpit even more than usual today. The lights are nice and warm, and it's a bit chilly. let's pray, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love towards us, your kindness in the Lord Jesus. Father, you have made us. All that we are, all that we have is yours. And so we ask today that you would keep shaping us to be people who live for you, for your glory, for your praise, to make much of you and to show it to the world. We ask, Father, today that you would shape us, mold us, change our hearts, change our minds, change our lives in the day to day. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I had a lovely breakfast this morning. The usual Sunday morning always has to have the perfect cup of coffee. I told you about it last week, didn't I? I mean, it's exactly the same this week. You don't boil the water. 90 degrees. If you boil it, it's gone too far. We've got one of those kettles with the multi-temperature setting, 90 degrees, perfect for coffee. One scoop of instant decaf, that's enough. Half a teaspoon of sugar. No, not sugar, honey. Honey makes it better. We've got the eucalypt honey at the moment. Gives it a little extra something. Very tasty. 3/4 of the way filled with the 90 degree water. Top it up with milk and then in the microwave for 33 seconds to get it to the right temperature, because the 90 degree water plus the milk cools it down a little bit too far. Along with some scrambled eggs on sourdough. Perfect. Thank you, thank you. You're very welcome. It's very easy to make more. Another scoop of coffee and off we're running, right? Now, that's right. It's a wonderful start to the day, isn't it? I mean, I don't know what your breakfast was. Maybe you haven't even breakfasted yet. Maybe it's post-church. You go and hang out with some friends and you chew the fat as you chew the sermon, right? Whatever it might be that you do. Such a mundane, pedestrian task in some ways. Some of us have exactly the same breakfast every day. In fact, I was chatting to somebody this week who has exactly the same lunch every day. I can't be bothered making decisions. I just pack exactly the same thing and off I go. It's done. It's easy. Maybe you spend lots of time and thought in food and drink. But it's incredibly complicated at the same time. And the question that stands before us this morning is very simple. How to do it to the glory of God? I don't know if that struck you last week. I left pondering it. I spoke with a couple of people who it was the same question for them. Last week, you remember, was the big picture. What's life about? How are we going to have a life that is full of meaning? How are you going to get to the end of it and not say, I've wasted my life? How are you going to make the most of it? And the answer was, we make the most of it by glorifying God. It's what He made us for, to display Him, to make much of Him. That's magnify, right? That word magnify, make much of. See Him in all His grandeur and splendor and kindness and grace and goodness and mercy and display it to the world. But there was that verse in the middle of it all, wasn't it? 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. The most basic of human actions. And I've been pondering, I don't know if you're like me, I often fall into this trap of thinking where I separate out in my life things that are holy and things that are secular. And I often find myself thinking, well, if I'm going to live to the glory of God, I've got to do more of the holy things, more of the Christian things, more of the sacred things. The secular things, the things of every day, they're not the bits that bring glory to God. There's other bits and they do, and I've got to do more of them. But this verse challenges that idea. It says, no, in everything that you do, in every single moment, how will you live to bring glory to God? Now, that's the heart of what we want to cover today. How are we going to be the people of God who do exactly this? Now, I've broken the sermon up into two kind of halves. I've got 3 points in the sixth one and 6 points in the second one. Okay, we're going to go fairly quick. This is an unusual sermon for how we work in this church, because instead of just one passage and we work our way through it, we're going to go all over the place. I'll take you, most of them will come up on the screen. Okay, well worth writing things down as we go, because the danger of me just giving you verse and verse and verse is that they may well be out of context. So it's well worth your time keeping notes, writing down the verses as we go. Maybe throughout the week in your devotional time, you might want to go back and read the verses in their context make sure they are saying what I'm telling you that they are. How are we going to live to the glory of God in everything? Just think about it for a moment. Christians and non-Christians, believers and non-believers alike, do many of the same things. I reckon today, while I was drinking my cup of coffee, there were many people who don't even know Jesus drinking a cup of whatever, tea, coffee, water, whatever it might be. Now, theirs wasn't bringing glory to God, was it? How is mine going to do it? How are our actions going to be different to those around us? In essence, today may well become known as that cup of coffee sermon. I don't know, but we're certainly going to talk about it a lot. But you know, whatever you replace that for whatever it is that you drink, the can of Coke, the container of cranberry juice, the carton of champagne, whatever it is that you're... I couldn't quite think of one for water that started with C. But anyway, maybe you can come up with one for me. A carafe of H2O, what's the word for water that starts with C? See, they've all got to be... Anyway, really irrelevant. Here we are. Here's the first way. Here's the first way in which we're going to make our everyday mundane actions resound to the glory of God, and that is by being thankful. By being thankful. It might sound simple. That's because it is. It's a profound, basic Bible truth that all good things come from God. Let me show it to you. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Do you have good things in your life? You do, Andrew. You have got some. You've got people around you who love you and care for you. You have breath. You're here this morning. You have clothes. You have belongings. You have experiences and moments. All right, look at this one in Matthew chapter 5, as Jesus was teaching his disciples. God causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. You see, believer and non-believer alike both receive good from the hand of God. Both receive good things all the time. In fact, for Christians, we even have the promise from God that the bad things, the hard things in our life, He is turning to good. So not only do we have good things from God, but even the hard things have purpose. Look at Romans 8. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purposes. So how is it that one drinks to the glory of God and one doesn't? Because one remembers where that goodness comes from and turns it to thankfulness. You see, there's the difference, isn't it? The recognition of the source. Now, there are any number of verses we could talk about that remind us to be thankful. That is at the heart of reflecting back to God, His goodness. Again, I've got some for you, 2 Corinthians 4:15. All this is for your benefit, right? Paul's had a very long argument. All of it's for your benefit, that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause what? Thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Now, isn't that interesting? It's tying the glory of God to thanksgiving overflowing. He wants the grace to reach more and more people so that there's more and more thanking God, which abounds in His glory. People stop and remember where goodness comes from. I love this one in 1 Thessalonians 5. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. How are we going to do everything to the glory of God? Well, we do it by thanking Him. You can see it in the negative, by the way. If you want to go read Romans chapter 1, in fact, I'll show you just a little bit of it. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven, for although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. You see, there's the opposite. You see it in the negative. You want to steal the glory that belongs to God, then don't thank Him for good things from His hand. The very heart, the very essence of sin. Okay, so here's the first bit. How are you going to live to the glory of God and everything? Thank Him. Second thing that you've got to do is love others. Love others. You see, we want to glorify God. That means we want to show Him for who He is. We want to make much of Him. We want to display Him so that He can be seen and marveled. What's the essence of God's character? God is love. God is love. And so if we want to display Him, if we want to show Him, then what do we need to do? Love. John chapter 13, a new command I give you, Jesus speaking to His disciples, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. What sort of love? As I have loved you. Sacrificial, giving, serving, caring, pouring out for another. Even at cost to yourself. In fact, just a couple of chapters further along in 15:8, listen to what Jesus says, this is to my Father's glory. Right? We're talking about giving glory to God. What brings glory to God? That you bear fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. What shows them to be His disciples? Love. You want to glorify God? Love as He loved. How is it that we're going to do it? Thoughtful about God, and so we're thanking Him. Thoughtful about others, and so we love them. Considering their needs. Seeking their joy. Wanting good for others. Now again, the negative shows it again, doesn't it? How could you drink a cup of coffee not to the glory of God? Selfishly. You do that, you're not going to be glorifying God, are you? Going to take 15 tea breaks during my work day, and that way I don't have to do any work. Brilliant. Well, there's not a couple that's going to bring glory to anyone, is there? Meanly, measly, not sharing, saving it for myself. Love seeks good for others. Even in that 1 Corinthians 10 passage, again, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. In the context that we had read for us, what's he talking about? Do whatever you need to do for the sake of them, for the sake of their conscience. I mean, why should whatever they care about influence me? I'm free, aren't I? He says. But for their sake, I will sacrifice. Whether you eat or drink, in the end, is out of love for them. And so brings glory to God. How are we going to live out our day today? We're going to be thankful. We're going to be loving. Thirdly, we've got to be mindful of the cross of Christ. This is where the glory of God is revealed in its fullest. And that is the moment that shapes the other two. How can I thank God for the good things in my life? Because He's paid for my sin. Because He's restored me back to Himself. Because every good thing that He gives me is an extension of the blessings that I have in Jesus. You ever thought about this? The good things that a non-believer receives from God condemn them. Every good thing, every moment of love, every blessing, every provision, every possession they have, every wonderful experience is a moment of judgment and condemnation because they do not thank the God who gave it to them. Every single one is another nail on the coffin that shows their sin and their rebellion. We can look at those moments and say, thank you. For my sin has been dealt with. Even when I forget to thank God, He's paid for that too. Every moment of blessing is now one that I know is good from His hand. But you know what? The cross doesn't just allow us to thank God. The cross teaches us how to love. Again, you want to know how to thank God? You want to know how to love? Both of them are found in the cross. Cross-shaped. We have been loved. And so we are compelled to love. I've really enjoyed the last couple of weeks as I've been reflecting on this, and we'll talk about it in the next point in a minute, but I've really enjoyed trying to work out how thankfulness for anything can also be thankfulness for the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for this car to drive my children to school to. I thank you for your provisions in the Lord Jesus. I thank you every moment of every day, turning our minds to thanking God and thanking Him for Jesus. Now, there's the three ways. I want to tease out six daily rhythms that are going to help us do that. We read 1 Timothy 2 by way of putting those pictures in our head of the soldier and the athlete and the farmer, people whose lives are dedicated to this cause. The soldier never clocks off. If you're on the battlefield, you don't get a day off and you think, well, today I cannot worry about the war. I'm just going to go for a stroll through the woods, as it were. You don't know what you're going to find. The farmer is constantly working. There are not enough hours in the day for them. The athlete is disciplined and rigorous. What are our lives going to look like if we want lives that are filled with thanking God and with love for others, shaped by the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, I got to be honest, these six pretty much come directly out of John Piper's book that we've been talking about, right? Don't Waste Your Life. It's a free book and it's well worth you reading it, okay? It's well worth you reading it. We had printed copies last week. I think they're all gone. That you can download it for free, or if you really want it, come and ask me and I'll print you another one. Here we go, six daily rhythms. Number one, enjoy daily continual fellowship with God. If God truly is our greatest treasure, our deepest desire, the thing that we value the most, the thing that we yearn for, the thing that we delight in, then it oughtn't be hard for us to live with Him every day, to listen to Him, to talk to Him, to cast our cares and our burdens upon Him, to share our experiences and our life with Him, to seek guidance, to enjoy His care. Now, as I've spoken with many of you, you know, I've reflected on myself, the first step is simply awareness. How often do we go through days and maybe even weeks without a thought for God? Without even remembering that He's there, let alone who He is. And so can I encourage you to cultivate thankfulness? Have a constant litany in your head. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for the four people now who off the back of last week came and said, oh, I can help you push buttons on the computer. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for the lights that stopped buzzing not too long into the service so that we didn't have this high-pitched whine the whole time. Right? I'm so thankful for all the little things. Just cultivate awareness of being thankful. We talk about prayer often. We talk about the need for systematic and disciplined prayer. That's a very good thing, okay? Every day to have some time set aside to be disciplined in prayer so that you're praying for things outside of yourself. Pray for the world and our missionaries and church and war and the leaders and so many things to be praying for. But at the same time, I wonder if we also need to develop an amount of continual prayer. An ongoing connection to God, an ongoing desire to be praying. Here's a couple of Bible verses, Acts 17:25. God is not served by human hands as if He needed anything. He Himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. Every moment of every day, are you still breathing? Then you've still got something you can thank God for. I don't know that I can quite do it. I can't quite convince myself to link every breath to a thanks. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I think that gets a little bit much, right? But why not every time you go to have a drink from now on, remember, thank you, God. 1 Thessalonians 5, again, right? In all things, rejoice always, pray continually. We undermine that, I think, often. We want to make less of it. Have it going in your head, thanking, thanking, thanking. And you know what? Thinking thankful thoughts often results in speaking thankfulness. I reckon in the last couple of weeks, I've talked more about God than I have for months. Purely because it's really easy to talk to other people about things that are really good. And when you're thanking God, you're constantly thinking about good things that are happening and turning them back to Him. And so it's really easy. I'm really thankful to God for this thing. It's not confronting, it's very easy, but it's wonderfully encouraging. We need to depend upon God's promises as we cultivate this daily, continual relationship with God. To know His promises. How is God with me? Well, how has He told me? What sort of things is he going to do? He's promised strength and peace and support and deliverance. He's promised words to speak and guidance and teaching. Read your Bible. Study your Bible, dare I say it. Meditate on the words in scriptures. Now, hear what I am saying and what I'm not saying. What I'm not saying is you have to have a mental catalogue of every single promise that God has ever made, and whatever the circumstance, bring the appropriate one to mind. I'm not saying that. That's kind of difficult to achieve. But why not just start with one promise and just dwell on it for a month? Just keep thinking about it. What does it mean when in Romans 5, Paul talks about boasting in his sufferings and boasting in God who provides? What does that mean? That's one I've been wrestling with for about a month now. You just keep thinking about it. How does it apply in this situation? Does it say something to me right now? It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be lots of it to dwell, to let it sit in us. Not so much Bible reading as it is Bible learning. Right, so cultivating thankfulness, depending on his promises, having this daily, continual relationship with God. Second daily rhythm, consciously relying on God, work hard at doing good. Now, I'm really conscious, by the way, that in this sermon we're going to cover a lot. I'm hopeful that you're going to pick one thing. You're going to hear something that you think, I need to be doing that. I'm going to start with that. If you do that, I'm okay, right? You don't have to think there's 9 points in the sermon and 15 points to take home and I have to do all. Just find one that will start daily shaping you to glorify God. All right, second one, consciously relying on God, work hard at doing good. Again, not a duality. It's not that in some moments in our life we're going to glorify God and then in other moments we're going to do the mundane things and they're not really about glorifying God. No. Work harder in everything to bring glory to God. We were created to work. Now, as I use the word work, I'm not talking about your paid employment, okay? Make sure you go and work a job that gives you lots. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about everything of life, every moment. In all that you do, in all your endeavors, in the office, yes, but at home as well, and with your friends, and at uni, and the school, and in your retirement, and at church, in every situation and everywhere, apply yourself, because God has made us to work. Let me show you a couple of Bible verses, Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And I love his reasoning. For in the realm of the dead where you are going, there is neither working, nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom. Now is the time to work. Now is the time to apply ourselves to these things. And as we consciously rely on God, seek to work hard. We will be depending on his promises and turning to him in thankfulness as he delivers. Or how about this one in Galatians chapter 6? Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. If you see something that needs doing, and it's within your power to do it, do it. Joyfully, out of love for others, out of thankfulness to God. We will achieve God's purposes and bring glory to him. I mean, the negative again shows it to us, right? Laziness, complacency, these don't bring glory to our Heavenly Father. They're rarely seen as loving for others or thanking God for the good he's given us. The key, of course, is conscious reliance on God. We don't work hard because we are mighty and we are powerful. No, but we do it because we know who our God is and what he has promised. Now, the third point then is connected to the second one. Confirm and enhance what people hear in the spoken gospel. Confirm and enhance what people hear in the spoken gospel. Let's be clear here. Work is not the gospel. Okay, your lifestyle isn't going to convert people. It's not the same as preaching. The gospel is a word, it's a message, it has to be communicated with words. And yet how you live can, well, it can be quite effective in besmirching the gospel, in somehow showing it to be less rather than more. Again, let me show you some Bible verses. Titus 2, 9. I told you we're going to cover a lot, okay? Titus 2, 9 to 10. It says, teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted. Right? So far, we're kind of, okay, slavery. But listen to his reasoning, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. Can you say that about your life? That how you live is directed towards making the teaching about God our Savior attractive. I mean, we have the greatest treasure the world has ever known. We have joy and peace and contentment and hope. We have a future that is unshakable. We have a God who is for us. How do we show our world that that is what we have? From 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. Mind your own business. Work with your hands as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and you will not be dependent on anyone. Again, how you live can do much to adorn or not the gospel. Live out God's character, excellence, integrity, goodwill, kindness, sacrificial giving, intentionally fleeing sin, repentance, forgiveness. Okay, daily rhythms. Seeking fellowship with God. Relying on Him, working hard. Intentionally living out. Adorning the gospel. Number four, put money in its place. Now, this one might seem a little bit strange as we're talking about daily rhythms, but I think for us, this is a specific one. We live in a wealthy country, and you cannot serve two masters. Wealth is a fatal master. Now, the Bible talks about money at length. It tells you to provide for yourself, to provide for your dependents, to be generous. But at the same time, it also says, don't labor for the food that perishes, right? Jesus said that in John chapter 6. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on Him God has placed His seal of approval. Now, I'm not going to go into it at length. We're probably due for another series on money in the not-too-distant future. We've got a whole term's worth of talks on it. You can find them in the sermon archive. But I'll tell you the single best antidote towards the love of money. Are you ready? If you think that perhaps you've got a problem in this area, I'm about to tell you the cure. The best antidote to the love of money is give it away. Okay? We can talk some more about that later if you want. Say thanks to God for it and then love other people with it. There you go. We're back to those same two principles. Thankful for what we've received, loving others. It's really, really, really hard to treasure Jesus when you treasure treasure. It's very hard. In fact, Jesus basically says it's impossible. Fifthly, desire to use what you have to make other people rejoice in God. Now, there's a daily rhythm to have. There's an attitude. I want to use all that I have and all that I am and my time and my energy, my belongings, my money to make other people rejoice in God. Use it all to bless others. Sometimes that'll mean material care, right? We want to use our things to do good for other people. Sometimes it might mean acts of service. We could spend a very interesting morning just exploring all the times the Bible talks about one another, all the things to do for one another, the love, the care, the honor, the service. It might well mean speaking. Desire to use what you have, that includes your words. To speak to unbelievers about Jesus, to speak to believers about Jesus. Can I help you lower the bar for a moment? What do you think I mean when I say talk to others about Jesus? Well, David, clearly you must mean you want us to give a summary of the sermon in all 9 points with adjacent Bible verses and followed by two ways to live, including the pictures and the Bible verses and the connecting words, right? Like, is that what you hear me say? Someone introduced us this week to the word blather. Ever heard the word blather before? It's kind of talking nonsense, really, but it's not quite what we mean here. Just start talking. If you're thankful to God for something, tell someone. You don't need special words. I'm really thankful for these shoes. They're quite comfy. God was very kind, because shoe shopping sucks. You know, you try on 15 pairs, and God was like, how about that one? And right, I'm very thankful to God for these shoes. That was a bit whatever, right? I just, what can I blather about? That's what I mean. You start talking. Walk out of today with one thing in your mind and on your heart that you know you could tell anybody you come across. It just be easy. Just talk about it. That's what we're talking about, okay? Blathering for Jesus. How's that for a word? All right, number 6, last rhythm. I've left this one for last on purpose because I think we often start with it, but I left it last on purpose. Treat your web of relationships as a God-given gift for you to love them with care and with the gospel. You want to bring glory to God in the everyday, in the mundane, as you drink your cup of coffee, as you eat your scrambled eggs, as you tie your shoelaces, as you change a nappy, as you fill your car up with petrol. Then do it knowing that the people around you, every point of contact that you have, they're there for you to love them. This is what God did for us, His enemies. He calls us to do it for those around us too. They are a gift from God to you. The incidental contact, the taxi driver that you're going to see for 3 minutes, well, maybe 30, depends how long the drive is. Your barber, your mum. Doesn't matter how little or big the contact, that moment of contact is an opportunity for you to love them. Sometimes with care. Sometimes they just need and you can supply that need. Often with the gospel. And again, don't hear with the gospel being two ways to live with the pictures and the Bible verses. Right, again, blather about Jesus. Just tell them something. Plant a little seed. Share your delight in your God with them. And as you do that, do it all for the glory of God. Because you know what He's done for you at the cross of Christ. You know how He has loved you. You've received the greatest treasure the world has ever known. So would you share it with others? Now I'm going to wrap up by giving you a minute on your own. You might want to write this down, because I want you to start writing a list of things that you're thankful for. Writing is going to help you. It'll just help you think. And can I say it might even help you blather about it as we leave from here, as you just start telling people, what are you thankful to God for? I'm going to give you a minute. And then in that minute, as you start thinking of that list, why don't you start praying? Just start saying, Jesus, thank you for... If you run out of ideas, just start thinking about yesterday. And then Friday, and then Thursday. And just think, when did I wake up? What happened? And thank God for it. And what happened next? And thank God for it.